Major support for Out to Lunch is provided by the law firm of Jones Walker, established in 1937 with over 375 attorneys in offices throughout the U.S., providing a comprehensive range of services to a local, national, and international client base. JonesWalker.com.
From Nola Pizza in the Nola Brewing Tap Room on Chapultepec Street in New Orleans, we're out to lunch with Peter Ricciuti, Tulane University's A.B. Freeman School of Business professor and director of the award-winning Birken Road Reports. It's business, New Orleans style.
Hi, I'm Peter Ricciuti. Welcome to Out to Lunch. If you could sell a product every person on Earth wants, you'd have a winning business, right? Right. So, other than a phone upgrade, what does every single person on Earth want? Love and happiness. That's the product platforms like Tinder, Bumble, Hinge, and other online dating services are selling. According to the latest numbers out there, 5% of people on Hinge find a partner. It's about 13% on Bumble. Tinder reportedly leads the pack with just under 30%. In other words, somewhere between 70 and 95% of people on dating apps don't find a partner. So, is there another business model that can more successfully package and sell love and happiness? Apparently, yeah, there is. It's been around a long time and exists in a number of different cultures and countries. It's called matchmaking. New Orleanian Anne Parnes is a matchmaker. We met Anne back in 2020 during COVID, when very few of us were going on dates and when she had a company called Match Made in Nola. As the name implies, it was a local matchmaking business. Today, Anne has a nationwide matchmaking business called After Hello. Anne Parnes, welcomed out to lunch.
Thank you, Peter.
Okay, so you've met the love of your life. Now what? If you're like most people, you're going to put a ring on it. Along with the psychological adjustment you're going to have to make to commitment, you're also going to have to solve the real-world problems of where you're going to put that ring on it, and how are you going to celebrate the biggest day of your life. You need a wedding and a reception. Who do you turn to arrange all that? Well, how about somebody named Van Vranken? The Van Vranken family has been arranging wedding receptions and weddings at the Balcony Ballroom for about 50 years. Since 1974, they've married 10,000 couples. The Balcony Ballroom is currently owned and run by a second generation of Van Vrankens, and one of them is Vanessa. Before joining the family business in 2011, Vanessa spent 16 years in New York as an actress. She's a member of the Screen Actors Guild and its live theater equivalent, Actors Equity. Vanessa Van Vranken, welcomed out to lunch.
Thanks for having me.
And I understand you've been able to grow your matchmaking company from a New Orleans small business to a nationwide company by teaming up with a partner, Maria Murray. So let's start with the obvious question. How did you and Maria meet?
Oh gosh, well, from my perspective, I found her in my database. From hers, she remembers a brunch with her friends where they were talking about all the problems of dating today, and one of her friends had heard of us and had her register for my database. So I initially met Maria as a database member who I interviewed, and as soon as she started telling me about what she did, which is always part of my question, I was just awed in awe of her and said, you know, gosh, can you clone yourself? I need someone just like you to come be my partner.
And that worked. So that was good matchmaking.
Amazing.
Yeah, so you're like 1-0 going out. That's so good. It is. Now, when we last spoke to you, I think the business was more single dimension, I guess. How's the difference? What is Hello? What is it about?
Yeah, so we've added some more core services other than the matchmaking. What I have found in the past 6 years is it's not enough just to find people the right introductions, but it's what to do with them after they've met them. And so, you know, the name After Hello, we really feel like there's more than just the introduction. There's the self-work. There's the focus on relationship building skills that not all of us have that really makes the difference in terms of successful long-term relationships. So we definitely have a focus on coaching. We offer it as part of matchmaking. We offer it on its own. And then we're also helping people with their online dating profiles and managing those, because we know that is still a great place for some singles to meet, and there are more effective ways of doing it than what's happening.
Vanessa, if somebody came to a business pitch with a plan for a wedding reception business, investors would tell them it'll never work. First of all, people get married on a Saturday. On any given Saturday, you can probably only put on one wedding, so you're only going to have 52 customers a year. Obstacle number two, repeat business. Zero. No matter how well you do the job, nobody's coming back for a second wedding reception. With that in mind, the Balcony Ballroom has been in business for about 50 years, and it's not showing any signs of slowing down. So what is the real-world secret to running a wedding reception business that defies basic business logic?
Well, first of all, sometimes we do get repeat business.
Really? If I got divorced, I would not go to the same place again.
There's one lady who we've known for a long time, and she did have her second wedding with us, and her family knew, you know, my dad, and she said, I knew I was going nowhere else, and it made me laugh. I guess we had done, you know, a really good time that she wanted to come back. But what I do like also in repeat business also is with families. I mean, they have, I always say the Montelepre family, they had 5 daughters, they got married with us, now they have kids. I mean, so the Giffen family, I mean, they've had, you know, like 4 or 5 kids with us now. I'm losing count. They've had, you know, anniversary parties with us. So I think if there's a punch card, I think, you know, on their 12th, you know, party, they get it for free. But so that's nice to see the families celebrate with us over and over again. We really love that. But as far as going back to your question, I mean, I think that my parents started this and they, you know, came up with a good product, and then they instilled with us a really great work ethic that, you know, of course we learned from them. And so we keep running it the same way and just adding as weddings change and evolve throughout the years, we do that as well.
Do you have a track record, by the way, out of those 10,000? How many made it past 5 years? Or
No, we don't keep track. It's over 10,000, because I know that my father did 10,000, so it's past that in his career. So, but no, we don't keep track. And as time goes on, you know, marriages don't hold. I mean, the rate of staying married is not great, you know. So every now and then, you know, just recently, we were talking to a nurse, and she's like, "Oh, my sister got married there," and I was like, "Oh," and she kind of made a face. I said, "I guess they're not still together." Oh. She goes, "Oh, no, they ended that, you know, after 18 months." I was like, "Okay, well, you know." So right, I hate to ask.
Right.
I only ask because she made the face, but normally I just skip the question.
They barely made it through the reception.
But she did follow that up with, "But it was a great party," and I said, "Well, good."
Now you. There's all kinds of family business dynamics, but you have kind of a special one. Your dad ran the business forever. He said almost 50 years. And then you were working in there, and then your dad passed.
No, he just got a knee replacement on Thursday.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's still there. Right.
Somebody write that down. He is not dead.
He's still there, yeah.
You know, that is the biggest mistake I've made in 14 years. I'm really...
It's great. You can take it out or keep it, but he'll laugh. Yes.
I'm pretty...
Yeah, no, he just got a knee replacement on Thursday. He's doing great. And yeah, and he'll be back in no time to tell us, you know, make corrections or what we're not doing like we should be, you know.
So, Anne, first of all, you should, like, combine, right? You merge or something?
It's like pipeline.
Yeah, you get the difference. Then you buy a funeral home, just get the whole continuum,
the whole
really,
right.
Just go with them. And do people, I'm trying to think of the things people do that maybe just lead to lack of success. Like, do people tend to sort of date kind of the same kind of person they've been dating and it never works out?
Good question.
That's definitely one of the patterns that we see, is people who come in with a type, right? And the type that they describe has nothing to do with real human qualities that actually might make them happy in life, and have everything to do with, you know, what they might do for a living, or, you know, what they might look like. And so what we try to do is delve deeper and really get them to talk about, like, what are their values that are super important that they can't, you know, sacrifice. Certainly there's compromise in relationships, but we don't want to get to the point where you're sacrificing core needs. So we try to really get into that, and just their vision for how they want to live and what that looks like, and their overall, like, personality and vibe. Those are the kinds of things that we really look to match on, our vision, values, and vibe.
And Anne, help me get to the trying to figure how it all connects. You've got the matchmaking, and then you're helping them, obviously, beyond hello. Where do you step in again? They've met, they like each other, then you come in?
So we continue the conversation with our client through every step, pre-date to post-date and beyond, giving them advice, you know, kind of next step advice, what might be going wrong, what are we always get feedback after every date. So we get, you know, not everybody who's dating gets that that opportunity to hear what went wrong. Did my match like me? Are there things that I can improve? So we really do try to take advantage of that, because we can't go out with our clients and see, but we get that really wonderful glimpse into what they might be doing that's getting in their way. And then also, as we're talking to them and giving them, we have assessments that we're giving, we try to figure out what some of their pitfalls might be and suggest resources and just have extra support around those issues.
I mean, I like it. I mean, that's really, I like her vision, her vibe. What'd you say, vision?
Values and vibe.
Values and vibe. Mm-hmm. And I like that there are V's.
Yeah.
Because I
that's
love
you
a
get
v.
a lot of V's.
Yeah. I like
yeah.
a V.
We tried hard for that
yeah.
one.
V like cubed.
It. Yeah.
It's funny. We trained at Tulane. We train the students for interviews. I don't think we're too far afield here, right?
Yeah, absolutely. It's, you know, really getting, what do you want? Where's the gap? And how can we bridge it? How can we help you get to where you want to be?
Are people so, do you find that people are so off on what, you know, they, I mean, they're picking certain qualities?
Sometimes, and sometimes I feel like they're also not looking in the mirror and thinking about what they might do to become the partner that they want to attract,
right?
We all might want a 10. But we have to be willing to be closer, right? What is that person looking for? What do you bring to the table, as well as what do you want?
Right.
So
yeah.
We do try to focus on that too.
Okay, I can't stop now. You do you pay for different segments? Like, I found somebody for you, I get paid for that, I helped you. No, it isn't like that.
No, it's not like that.
A package plan?
It's memberships. Yeah, we typically work for 6 months together. And in that, we cover the whole gamut. Sometimes people meet really early on, and other times it's a process. We know that, you know, this is not Amazon Prime, right? So you're not going to get delivered to your door exactly.
But 6 months is good. So you have, like, a good feel about 6 months.
That's right. That's right. And people can pause and kind of see where things go. So there's not this rush of having to decide in 6 months if they want to book your venue.
Although, yeah, we've seen that too. Yeah.
You're listening to Out to Lunch. I'm Peter Ricchiuti. I'm talking with matchmaker Anne Parnes from After Hello and Vanessa Van Branken from wedding reception venue, the Balcony Ballroom. We'll continue our conversation when we come right back from this short break.
Out to Lunch is brought to you by Basics Underneath. Fine lingerie, personalized fitting, curated swimsuits, and workout wear. Uptown on Magazine Street and at basicsunderneath.com. And by Infinite Health Integrative Medicine Center, specializing in longevity, health optimization, and regenerative medicine. More information at yourinfinitehealth.com. And by Tracy Moore, broker, realtor, and partner at Rev Realtors, offering over 20 years of experience representing buyers, sellers, and investors. Learn more at tracy.revrealtors.com.
You're listening to Out to Lunch. I'm Peter Ricchiuti. I'm talking with matchmaker Anne Parnes from After Hello and Vanessa Van Branken from wedding reception venue, the Balcony Ballroom. Vanessa, when you mentioned packaging and bundling, that's part of what makes you, right?
Correct, yes. We are all-inclusive, you know, from, you know, the premium bar to the premium food to the premium staff to the lighting to the linens to the centerpieces to, you know, we kind of cover it all. Because, you know, I think that a lot of girls, you know, are dreaming about this wedding day and their experience, and they don't realize how much you have to do to make it all happen. So then I'll have the girl come in and say, thank God you have all this done, because I know I still have so much to do, like invitations and dress shopping and, you know, showers and gift registries and you know, limousines. I mean, it goes on from there. So we cover a lot of it so that they don't have to, you know, worry about that part.
So you'd be the first stop and maybe the only stop in some ways.
We like to be the first stop. I mean, the church, if they're doing a church, you know, sometimes you do the ceremony with us. So then if we're that stop, then we're that stop for them. And then they can, you know, I usually say next, then find a photographer, then, you know, then your cake. I mean, you know, we kind of, there's a kind of an order, you know.
You're the bundling girls. This is so great. They, and it does make a lot of sense. And when I think of what you're doing, how difficult is it? I mean, it seems like a needle in a haystack. But it's not. After you've gone through this a lot, does it get better? Like your own picking
easier?
Get better?
Well, I don't have a magic wand. None of our matchmakers do. But what we do is we can save a lot of time and we can vet out a lot of people, right? So we're asking the questions when we're interviewing matches that, you really shouldn't be asking on date one, two, and three, right? So we're making sure that those big things align. And so oftentimes when we interview a match, we may eliminate them completely, and that happens quite a bit. So, yeah, that's...
And I want to know some of those questions that we're not supposed to ask.
That's what I was going to ask.
These are good.
Well, I just think you don't really want to get into past relationships right away and air your baggage,
sure.
Right? You don't really necessarily... What is your life plan? What are your career plans? You know,
how
all
much
of those.
You make, that would be
exactly.
Bad, yeah.
All of
how
those
many kids
things
do you want to have? Right.
Absolutely.
Right.
When?
Yeah,
what
that
are the
would
names?
Be spooky.
Right. Yes. Okay. Yes, things that like that.
Is.
Okay. So that's a no. Okay.
That's
so you
a
don't
no.
want to bring that up. Okay. Got it.
But we can, and so we can make sure that you're, you know, that people are aligned. If somebody really wants somebody who's going to go to services, church services with them weekly, and
sure.
you know, somebody else, that's never going to happen, right? So we can eliminate a lot of these like big deal breakers pretty quickly and save people a lot of time.
And do you view the online dating, do you view that as your direct competition? What?
So I think it's a great tool. Are they our competition? Absolutely. I mean, they were, you know, helping single people find their matches. But I don't think that the people who are really more interested in quality over quantity, I think that we are definitely finding our share of that population who is trying to save their time and their emotional, you know, energy and all of that, and would rather kind of save their time for people who make sense for them to spend it on, rather than just like swiping and date after date, you know, bad dates. So, and there's a place for them. I mean, we do help people online. Like I said, there's a giant pool, and there's a certain segment of the population that does really, really well on the app. So we just help them utilize them better.
And Vanessa, give me an example of what your typical day looks like, because I can't figure it out from here.
Okay, well,
like a day of a wedding, maybe?
Sure, a day of a wedding is, so they used to do 3 weddings on a Saturday.
Whoa.
Now we only do 2 weddings. We'll have an afternoon wedding and an evening wedding. We get there early, we turn on the airs, you know, we turn on the lights, we make sure the room is ready to accept people. You know, my chef's in the back, he's cooking all the food, we cook everything from scratch, so we're not warming things, you know, so my staff comes in, we set up the room. I mean, we have to put the bottles out and chill the champagne, and all of that has to happen. And then your guests come in and you have a good time, and then we literally clean it all up and set it all up again and do it again.
Now,
the same way, yeah.
I was going to bring this up earlier, but then I ended up thinking your dad was dead, so I stopped. But let's go back to that question. Is you know, you've been working in the business for a long time. What about that transition? Is there somebody that's been there a long time that's sort of helping you in addition to your dad?
Yes. So, yeah. So Mike Warren has been there for 46 years. I like to throw the numbers out because then people figure out how old he is, which he doesn't like me saying. So he's been there for a long time. So he is related to us by family through a marriage. And he's been there. And so he really got to see my dad and, you know, in his heyday, which is great. And he really took the reins. And then my brother and I came up, and my sister did not get in the business, but my brother and I came up and we learned from, you know, Mike and my dad. So Mike's still there and, you know, along with my dad and us. So it's nice because we have so many years of experience. No one in the city, not a single venue in the city, is going to have the experience that we have with weddings. You know, from my dad to Mike to us, there's no one that can come close to that number. So we're thrilled to say that.
And, you know, when I first spoke to you, you were doing it in New Orleans, and just the matchmaking part, and I could kind of see that being, you know, a lot of work and all that. But how do you market beyond New Orleans?
Well, that's where Maria comes in. We have hired 4 matchmakers around the country and 3 client consultants. Our team is growing, and we're pretty strategic about the locations that we're picking. I also belong to the Matchmaking Alliance, which is a national network of reputable matchmakers. We go to conferences together. We collaborate. We have a private Facebook page where if someone's looking for a match for their client, we all chip in and kind of look through our databases. So, you know, and then, of course, Maria's magic of recruiting comes in, and she's using methods that I've never been familiar with, and that's been really, really wonderful.
Do you check to see one of them isn't married?
Yes, we do.
I bet that would
absolutely
be an issue.
That's a big piece. Yeah.
That's a big piece.
Yikes.
Anne thought it was a great fit, but turns out he has 6 families. There's, and Vanessa... When you get into a family business situation, sometimes there's a lot of friction. Did you see that? And how would you handle it?
Oh, no, we don't fight at all. We're perfectly happy all the time.
Really?
I know that everyone who's in a family business, it's the same way. You know, I mean, you have that generational gap a little bit where, you know, my dad doesn't understand like Facebook or Instagram at all. He doesn't understand why we're on our phones. You know, why aren't the phones ringing? I was on the phone all the time. They had my cell phone. You know, he would say they have my house phone. They have the, you know, I said, Dad, that's not really how they work anymore. You know, I'm answering emails at 2 a.m. or a Facebook, you know, message or whatever, because I can. And, you know, they reached out, so I can do that pretty easily, as I know you know. He just doesn't understand it. So now he understands this more. I mean, you know, it we all had, you know, kind of growing pains in that. But certainly working with your family has its tough times, but it, you know, it has an uncountable amount of benefits, you know, to it as well.
And so Thanksgivings are fine and all that.
Yeah, Thanksgivings are great. And actually, we take off holidays. You know, I don't know. You know, that's different with a hotel. Like, a hotel is going to have Christmas, you know, buffets or brunches or whatever they're going to have. We take off the holidays, so it's nice. So we can all go back and relax with each other.
Do you have different levels, like for someone who could afford a basic package or, you know, a more expensive package?
We do. I mean, it is more of a luxury service because it is so time and effort intensive. But we do have different packages, more that if we think our client might need a little bit additional, let's say marketing, right? Somebody who we don't think is going to look great two-dimensionally on a photo. We're always marketing our client when we're talking to matches about them. But we might think, well, this might be someone we want to have a small video made so that when we present them, they can see how animated he is or, you know, something besides just an awkward smile. So that person might be a higher tier. Or somebody who's looking in multiple locations where we really want to expend the resources, that would be a different tier. So we really try to match our clients with the right service that would be in their best interest.
Vanessa, how do you advertise? You know, I understand, you know, your dad's a different generation and you're the younger generation. You mentioned, you know, using online, but how do you market this? I mean, do you just kind of keep your company out there so people think of you? I mean, a lot of people do think of you.
Yeah, of course. I think that when my dad started it, you know, I mean, there was a whole generation of people that got, you know, they had so many weddings there. So everyone's like, oh, the balcony. And in Metairie, you know, I mean, that's where we're located. So we kind of had a ton of families that were very familiar with us, of course. Then when I came back, when I moved back here, there was a whole generation of brides or couples that were like, where is that? What is it? And I was like, wow, this is so weird that you don't know this business that's been there so long. But again, you make adjustments. You make adjustments in advertising. You make adjustments in, you know, the building. I mean, we'll paint or we'll add something or, you know, we'll change our centerpieces, change our linens. You know, we keep evolving, like I said earlier. And then that's when, you know, and again, on social media and, you know, Google and the interwebs and all that stuff, then that generation learns about us as well.
I was thinking, a lot of family business people we've had on, the kid was involved in the business at a very young age doing something. Were you that person?
No.
No.
I know,
You're able to avoid
Jay,
that.
Jay, my brother worked there like in high school. He would work some of the parties, you know, in college, and his friends would do that. Because actually, you know, for the longest time, my father did not hire girls. And it's because he didn't want the girls and the guys to be distracted at work. You know, he didn't want, like, them to be distracted with each other.
That is old school.
It is old school. So he didn't want them to be distracted. And I will tell you, the first girl he hired, she married one of the guys there. And they got married at the balcony. I know. So, I mean, he's not wrong.
Whether you manage a single Chuck E. Cheese franchise or you're the CEO of Apple, everybody running a business is doing pretty much the same thing. Managing people, solving problems, and trying to make a profit. I think it's safe to say that most people with a business would also like to accomplish something else, something less tangible, and that is, in some way, making the world a better place. Business owners define that in all kinds of different ways. For some, it's simply being able to employ people and give them an income. For others, it's controlling waste and preserving the environment. There's a wide range of contributions a business can make to the world that certainly include adding the sum total of human happiness, which is what you do when you spend your professional life helping people find love and get married. Anne and Vanessa, it is rare to find a business where celebrating love and happiness is front and center. Thank you both for creating what you've created, and thank you both for taking time to join me today on Out to Lunch.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
My guests today on Out to Lunch have been Anne Parnes, co-founder of After Hello, and Vanessa Van Vranken, owner of the Balcony Ballroom. We edited this show to fit into the time slot here on WWNO. You can hear our unedited conversation and find out more about Anne's matchmaking and Vanessa's weddings by listening to the Out to Lunch podcast. You can find and subscribe to the Out to Lunch podcast on your podcast app and on our website, itsneworleans.com. If you want to know what we all look like, you can find photos from this show on itsneworleans.com and on our Out to Lunch social media. These photos were taken today by Jill LaFleur. You can find more of Jill's photos at LaFleurPhoto.com. Out to Lunch is a production of INO Broadcasting for itsneworleans.com and WWNO 89.9 FM. The producer of our show is Grant Morris, our technical producer is Eric Merle, and our researcher is Leah Erdialis. Today's show was engineered by Blake Longlinet. I'm Peter Ricchiuti. Thanks for joining me. I look forward to meeting you again next week around the lunch table for more business New Orleans style on Out to Lunch.
Out to Lunch was recorded live over lunch at the NOLA Brewing Tap Room, 3001 Chapatula Street, open 7 days a week. NOLA Brewing Tap Room has a wide variety of craft beers and authentic hand-tossed New York-style city pizza by NOLA Pizza. More information is at nolabrewing.com. Major support for Out to Lunch is provided by the law firm of Jones Walker, established in 1937 with over 375 attorneys in offices throughout the U.S., providing a comprehensive range of services to a local, national, and international client base. JonesWalker.com. Mitchell Foreman wrote and performs all the music on Out to Lunch. You can hear Mitchell's music anywhere great jazz is sold or streamed, and at MitchellForeman.com. If you'd like to be part of Out to Lunch, to learn how your business or organization can become an Out to Lunch program partner, email info@inobroadcasting.com.